In our Sunday school, this is the fifth week, fifth lesson in our series, Living with Hope in a Broken World. And this morning, our lesson is the joy arising from our hope. You know, some people think when they become a Christian, they're going to start living on the mountaintop all the time. They're not going to have, everything's going to go good in their life. They're not going to have any trials or heartaches or difficulties, burdens, or have to make any sacrifices. Well, the Bible doesn't promise that. Not anywhere. It does not promise that kind of life for a Christian. In fact, the Word of God says just the opposite, that at times we're going to suffer. At times we're going to go through trials. At times we're going to have hardships. And it points to Jesus as our example, the suffering that he went through as he did his ministry, performed his ministry here on the earth, the persecution that he endured, and then, of course, the great suffering that he endured for us on the cross to purchase our salvation. And so the question that some Christians ask, if Christians suffer just like everybody else, then why would a person decide to get saved? Why would a person trust Christ? Why would a person receive the gift that Jesus or that God offers that Jesus purchased on Calvary? Well, let me answer that question. If any of you are asking that question, I don't think you are. But for those that answer that might be listening later, we receive the gift of salvation, even though it might bring additional suffering because of the persecution, because it keeps us out of hell. I don't know about you, if I had to suffer every moment of my life to stay out of hell, I'd gladly make that choice. Now, we don't stay out of hell by suffering. I mean, that's not the key. Jesus is the key. But if I had to suffer every moment of my life to stay out of hell, I'd gladly choose that for the short time I'm going to spend here on this earth than to go to hell forever. Why should we get saved even though we're going to suffer? Because it puts us under the Father's care. It puts us in the Father's care. Bible says he knows what we need. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, our Father knows what we need, and he will provide it every day, every day. So the question, if I'm in my Father's care, and every Christian is, why do God's children suffer? Does anything positive or anything good come out of suffering? And the answer is yes, 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 yes. Our suffering for Christ deepens our walk with him. That's the point of the message this morning. It draws us closer to him. Through suffering, I see he is able to handle anything. Through suffering, I see that my God can handle anything. Through suffering, I see that I can trust him in any circumstance. And through suffering, I can feel his presence in a way that I don't feel his presence when I'm not suffering. Think about Daniel. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just four examples from the many that are in the Bible. When did they know that God could handle anything? When did they know that they could trust him? When did they feel his presence in a special way? It's not when everything was turning up roses in their life. It's not when everything was going good in their life. It was when Daniel was in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fiery furnace. It's in trials that we get to know God more. In trials, we get to know God more. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul was talking about his upbringing. He was talking about everything that he had accomplished in his life. And he says, I used to count them as gain, but now I've gladly given them up. In fact, I count them like garbage. I count them like dung, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. What Paul was saying is, the more I know God, the more hope that I have. And again, it's not a hope so hope, it's a no so hope. And with that no so hope, we can live with joy. kind of joy we sang about a moment ago. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The half has never yet been told. We can live with joy in this broken world. Amen? Amen. All right, Brother Bill, come and lead us in our lesson this morning.
I apologize for running over a little bit last week. The pastor asked me how long I would take, and I told him I had a short message so he could stretch it out a little. He didn't ask me today, so when I run over, you know who to blame. Now, I'm a golfer, and when you start golfing, you go to the first tee, you take your ball out, and you tee it up and get ready to play. He has just teed it up for me. Good morning, and I pray that the joy of Jesus is in you today and that it will be contagious to all those you touch today. I pray that this lesson today will touch your hearts as well as your minds, and that you will be blessed and share God's word with others, that they may be blessed. For me, the study of God's word is always a special time. And today, we are in a special place. The Lord is with us today. The point of today's lesson today is suffering for Christ can deepen our spiritual walk with Him. We should view suffering for Christ as an opportunity that strengthens our faith and expands the blessings that we receive. The scripture reading this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 and 2, and 4, 12 to 19. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Your sufferings will be rewarded. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-being as unto a faithful Creator. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your presence in our lives. We thank you so much for sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to guide, direct us, protect us, shelter us from the evils of the world. We thank you so much for that, Lord. We also thank you for the tribulations that we experience from time to time. For tribulation maketh patience, and patience maketh faith. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. Be with this nation at this critical time in our history, a time when people are ignorant of the past, are not paying attention to what progress has been made in this nation. In my lifetime, I have seen tremendous improvements in the quality of life of nearly every American. And we give you the praise, Lord, and we bless you for it. But there are those that think that we are an evil nation and that we should be eliminated, that our whole life should be changed. Lord, I've traveled some in this lifetime of mine. I've been to other nations. Lord, there's not a nation in this world that can compete with the United States in doing good. And Lord, we thank you for it. And we pray for your blessings. Be with us during this pandemic, which seems to be reviving. Lord, help us protect all Christians from that. Protect all people from that. But Lord, let it be an opportunity to spread the word of Jesus Christ, that the lost may be saved. Be with the election. Lord, let thy will be done. We accept whatever you choose for us. We will live the path that you want us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, again, just a quick reminder that Peter wrote at the time of the Nero persecutions and was writing to Gentile Christians, many of which were present at Pentecost and experienced the presence of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and were converted to Christianity. In turn, these converts became disciples and scattered throughout the known world teaching about Jesus. Amazingly, many more Gentiles were converted, even though it was a time of persecution, and dedicated their lives to Jesus Christ. This dispersion and this persecution were both part of God's plan to spread his light, the light of his word, to the world. This is how God changed the world. And if we be called upon to suffer for his sake, it will also be part of God's plan, and that we may again revive and change the world. Peter was preaching hope, even in times of suffering. The wonderful aspect of this is that the words of Peter are relevant today. These words apply today to you and you and you. It's applied to us, and we can thank God for it. Verse by verse, 1 Peter 4, 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Christ is the primary example that even Christians will have suffering in their life. Christ suffered and died in his mortal body for us, and as an example for us, and it grants us eternal life. Arm yourselves. Prepare. Prepare yourselves for the suffering for Jesus' sake that may be necessary, that may befall you. Be like-minded with Jesus. Be like-minded as Jesus Christ. I've preached more and more as I get older, try to be more like Jesus in every way, every day. That's what Christians are supposed to do. Why? So that we may be an example to those that are lost, that they may come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they in turn contact other people and bring more people to God. Oh, I look at the world today, and I look at it two ways. I am filled with joy because I have Jesus. I've read the book. I've read the plan. I know where I'm going. But then I look at how others are leading their lives, and I know they're lost. And it pains me. It aches my heart when I know how many people are just going astray. How many people, even though they go to church, are in rebellion to God's law. Your example is so important. It's probably most important to your family, to your children, your grandchildren. But it's important to your neighbors, to your friends, to the people you work with. They know you claim to be a Christian, and everybody should know that you claim to be a Christian. They're watching you. They're looking for an opportunity to justify them not believing. They want to justify their belief. Don't let them do that with the examples that we set in our lives. Prepare yourselves for suffering for Jesus' sake. Be like-minded. If you be like-minded with Jesus and suffer for his sake, great shall be thy reward. You will be blessed. And that's what Peter is telling us here in this chapter. For he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now that's talking about Jesus. Suffered in the flesh. He never sinned in the first place. So that's got to also be talking about you. If you suffer for Christ, you'll lead a better life if you remain steadfast and with him. Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verses 10 to 18. That supports what I've just said. By suffering for Jesus, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. One sacrifice took away all our sins. And every priest, now that's talking about the Old Testament priests, and the Jews still practice it today. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he has offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And he's preparing a place for you. He said, I must go away where there's many mansions and prepare for your coming. From henceforth, this is verse 13, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And when is that? At his second coming. His enemies will be made his footstool when he returns and establishes his kingdom here on earth. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He's talking about you, folks. He's talking about you. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, Jesus said, I must needs go away that the Comforter may come. The Comforter has come, and he is yours. He is mine. He is ours. He comes to guide and direct all those who believe. For after that, he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after these days. After Jesus Christ dies on the cross, this is the covenant. This is the contract that God makes with us. Saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and will I write them to make us like-minded with Jesus. That's why we studied this. That's why we're here today, to learn to be more like Jesus and follow his will for our lives, that others may see. For their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. As stated in 1 Peter 4:1, excuse me, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Jesus' sacrifice blots out our sins to the eyes of God. God cannot look upon sin. And if it were not for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed, we would not see the gates of heaven. But as it is, we got a mansion prepared for us. We're going to walk the streets of gold. We're not going to count time in days or seconds or hours or years. We're not going to count time at all, because we will live there in eternity. Now, therefore, remission of these is, and he's talking about our sins, remission of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no more offering for sin. One time. It's all it took. Christ paid for our sins once and for all on the cross. If you believe in the cross and you believe that he saved us from our sins, then you're going to live in those one of those mansions in heaven, and you're going to live there forever. And the wonderful thing, the most wonderful thing about going to heaven is you're going to be in the presence of God and Jesus Christ. That, verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. If we are like-minded with Christ, we will not pursue the carnal pleasures and desires of the ungodly. We will be concentrating on his word. We will try and strive to be more like Jesus. We'll never make it, but we need to try. And the joy in this life from trying is an awesome thing. The hope that we have in us. And I view this, when we're talking about hope, it's a certainty of salvation is what really we can look forward to. Verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Christians, do not be surprised regarding persecution that may be coming. Suffering for Jesus is a common occurrence. Christians cannot expect that perfect life that the pastor was talking about. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God protects us from the evil. We pray that God will watch over us, protect us from the wiles of the devil. It's the only way we can get through this life is with Jesus and the Comforter guiding us, directing us. But rejoice, this is verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers, you are sharers of Christ's sufferings. You are blessed if you share in the sufferings of Christ that provided your salvation. That when his glory shall be revealed, and that is during the second coming, when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You think you got it good now? And I think I've got it good. It is nothing compared to what we can anticipate. It is nothing compared to when we go to his mansions, walk his streets of gold, and be in the presence of God for the rest of eternity. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are ye, he's talking about you, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now you think about that verse. And most of you are old enough to think back. Nobody poked fun at Christians when we were youngsters. Nobody made fun of God. Now, to most non-believers, it's all a fairy tale. A lot of them doubt that Christ ever existed in spite of all the witnesses that witnessed the redemption. Oh, he was just a man. He was just a teacher. He didn't have eternal life. He wasn't redeemed. He didn't go to hell and suffer for our sins and then come back. No. And the belief, I think, that leads more people astray. God is a just God. He loves us. He would never send us to hell. People believe that. And our churches, our so-called Christian churches, are filled today with that attitude and that belief. If any of these things fall upon you, God will be with you and he will bless you through all tribulations, through all any evil that befalls you in his name. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. If any man suffer for evil, he's on his own. He doesn't have the Comforter. He doesn't have Jesus. He doesn't have the promise of eternal life. It is not offered to those people that practice evil and reject Jesus Christ. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf, on this behalf. In the early years, after the death of Christ, Christian was thought to be a derogatory term applied to followers of Christ. Oh, he's just a Christian. What do you expect? Christian is a term that's used only three times in the Bible. Peter here is saying we should not be ashamed of the term or of being a follower of Jesus. Rather, we should be bold and glorify Christ because we are Christians. Good advice to follow today. Good advice for Christians to step forward boldly and uphold. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it first begin at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, time here refers to a season. And that season is the end time when Jesus returns. And when he returns, judgment begins in the churches. Many of our contemporary churches will not be happy about that. Many churchgoers are going to be very, very surprised. This is a warning to us to follow the whole gospel and obey his holy word. God does not want cafeteria Christians that pick and choose the parts of the Bible they find comfortable enough to believe in. This is his plan for us, the whole Bible. Every word, and I assure you, I believe every word in this book. I don't think any of it is a fairy tale. I don't think any of it is anything but the inspired word of God, written by men, but inspired word of God. Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? If the righteous can scarcely be saved, that is with difficulty, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Okay, the righteous will be saved with difficulty. And the righteous are the godly followers of Christ, the obedient. And the ungodly, they're followers of Satan, the disobedient, the unholy sinner, the lost. Feel compassion for them. Feel a desire to change their hearts, that they may come to know Jesus as we do, that we know our eternal salvation is secure. Might be a relative, might be a friend, might be an enemy. Have compassion for them. Reach out to the lost. Go forth, my friends. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. God delivered Lot because he was just, and he lived amongst all of that evil. I've always, almost every time I read that, I said, why didn't you move, Lot? Why didn't you get out of there? Put yourself in a much better position where you didn't have to witness that sin and live amongst it along with your family. But he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now Lot was spared, but his wife was not. She looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt because she disobeyed. And that is our lot. That is the lot of the ungodly if they disobey. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He plucked Lot out of that. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Nobody is going to escape the judgment. God's word is here. It's for all. And when this word is spread throughout the world, Jesus will come again. Tells us that in the Bible. I'm a Gideon. We're in over 200 countries in this world. There probably aren't more than 210 countries in the world. We're close. The day is coming of judgment. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Wherefore, Peter's saying, this is the conclusion of this session about the joy arising from our hope. Let them that suffer according to the will of God, that's verse 12, they are sharing the suffering of Jesus. Commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, that's part of verse 14. Persecuted Christians are an example and are showing their allegiance to Christ. Commitment. That is what God wants from each of us. As unto a faithful creator, God is faithful. That comes from verse 16. We are called Christians and should not be ashamed. We should glorify him and give him all of our praise. Remember, friends, all persecution, all suffering, all tribulation, all adversity in the name of Christ, we endure as a result of the will of God to advance his kingdom. There is a reason why we suffer. There was a big reason why Christ suffered, that you may be saved. Jesus is our example to follow, if necessary, when dealing with these situations. And remember, Jesus gave his all. Jesus suffered and suffered and died. But the worst thing that happened, when he was on the cross, and he said, Father, Father, where are you? You've abandoned me. Why? Because he, at that time, took on our sin, and God could not look upon his own son because he had sin on him. He went to hell, suffered there for 3 days, and redemption came. And it was proof to us that Christ lived, that Christ came back. 500 witnesses testified to seeing him. He gave it his all. Are we ready to be like Jesus? Let us pray. Well, let me conclude. When I said Jesus gave it all, Luke 23:46. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. I hope when I'm laying on my deathbed, I have the awareness to say those words, because I'm ready. I am ready. Let us pray. Lord, be with us, protect us, watch over, guide and direct us. Let us take this word, write it on our hearts and into our minds, and practice it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week, the culmination of our hope, which will conclude the series in 1 Peter. The scripture next week is 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, 5b to 11. The point, what we hope for in Christ will one day be attained. What we hope for in Christ will one day be attained. That's the promise that we can look forward to. God bless you. Have a great week.